And maybe I should just give you the whole message in one sentence. I don't have a clue. But I have some educated guesses. The clue meaning I don't have a word from the Lord other than the scripture and then what I read in the various news outlets. Daniel, who is considered almost, you know, there's Jesus, and then who's number two in holiness? Paul, John the Baptist, Peter. I think number two might be Daniel in our minds. He was an amazing person, and as a teenager, he became a servant of a foreign power that had conquered his city, destroyed portions of it, taken a bunch of them captive, and long before his death had gone back in there and destroyed the whole thing and just kind of tried to wipe it clean in Israel. Daniel was loved by God, and he was what we would call a blockhead. When it came to faith and faithfulness, he had one speed, and that was passing gear. He didn't know to do anything but what was right and to do it now. So that when they wanted to get rid of him, you know, they said, well, we're not going to be able to get rid of him unless we do something about his God. See, they witnessed his faithfulness to his God. So, you know, because he prayed three times a day, ultimately he landed in the lion's den. Guys like that, if it's not God's time for them to go, are really hard to eliminate. They just don't go away. And he didn't go away. Now, his detractors at that time went away into that same pit the next day where they'd had him thrown. It was one of those, yes, got some justice here, unless you worry about people dying. And I'm glad there are people who do that, because some of us are just saying, yes. And Daniel was wonderful, and he was used by God to receive revelations that unlocks the end time. He saw the kingdoms of the world that were coming centuries, actually almost millennia before they happened. As a matter of fact, one of his visions was probably foretelling the rise and fall of the European empires. Of course, the most notable is Germany in the 30s and 40s, but of last century. But he was a phenomenal vessel of God. There seems to be not one hint of scandal around him. Just marvelous. And the Lord showed him all of these things. And in the last chapter of Daniel, it goes something like this. I heard, but I did not understand. So I ask, my Lord, what will be the outcome of all of this? He replied, go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, made spotless, and refined. But the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. Now, Daniel, like the rest of us, if we had received that revelation or that word from the Lord, would have thought, I wonder if I'm one of those wise ones that will, you know, because we just put all things in our context. This is the context we have, okay? Don't jump on yourself or don't jump on me, because this is what we have. The wonderful philosophical phrase from the street is, what you see is what you get. You know, this is our deal. Well, obviously, this was a number of centuries, actually millennia, away from the end time, which we assume we're approaching. Now, that's an educated guess. That's not just, I wish it were happening, because so much stuff. One of the things that makes me really happy about going on the line and risking a little bit of credibility to say we're getting close, folks. Pay attention. This may be it. Is Ezekiel 38 and 39, where a great nation from the north invades Israel, and there are various reasons listed, but one of them is, you've said in your heart, I will go into that land of unwalled villages, and I will take much booty. And that's not talking about your whatever. That's loot. And I've been to Israel, and they have incredible technology. Probably, if you really wanted to get where the cutting edge is, instead of going to Silicon Valley, you might include a little circle into Israel for a few months or a couple of years. But they have that. They're hard workers. They know how to run an army, especially with God's protection. They look really good. And after that, it's like, I used to read that passage, and it's like, what? What's the deal? What is this great loot that this ruler from the north, whom we assume now, of course, is Putin, we don't know that. I didn't say he's the Antichrist. But we assume that's that guy. And so here he comes in. Well, what is it? You know, and it's like, I don't get it. And there's the Dead Sea has great wealth as far as certain minerals and so forth, because it's just collected them for centuries as the water has evaporated out and left all these minerals. But yeah, they're not going in for the Dead Sea. You know, I just didn't make sense. And lo and behold, 2-3 years ago, they discovered natural gas. Huge fields of natural gas. Guess who is the supplier of European natural gas today? That northern kingdom. And Israel is positioning itself to compete. And if they get after it, you can bet those Jews will win. And so this guy has all the reason in the world, because it is a huge, huge contributor to their national economy, what the Europeans pay Russia for natural gas. So when we look at this, all of a sudden it's like, oh, and the scripture's right again. I wasn't saying the scripture was wrong. I just didn't understand it. I think I do now. So if this is all kind of fitting into the end time, then indeed we are correct in saying this is it. And I suppose all of us in the room think this is it. I'm not trying to convince you. I'm really doing a disclaimer here, because it's always a mistake to set dates, and this is kind of like that. You know, you read through Revelation, and there's that one place where it says, and there was silence for half an hour in heaven. And of course, all of us who study the scripture know that that's when the prophecy preachers are correcting their charts. You didn't get that. Anyway, that used to be funny. It's like, you know, we have set up these charts and we have made this. This is when this is happening. Bang, 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 bang. And so here comes now this end time thing. And the one thing that stood out to me, because this is where God put my heart when he called me to ministry, was verse 10, many will be purified, made spotless and refined. That is the will of God for the last day. It's going to be a day of great trouble in perhaps the whole world. Trouble like the U.S. has not seen as far as the church is concerned. We've not suffered like the rest of much of the rest of the world. But it's probably coming, and we will just be purified, made spotless, and refined so that we look like the bride when we become the bride. And I'm not talking about some kind of sinlessness or flawless works that we can do. You'll never be that good, okay? It is by grace that all of this happens. But the Lord makes all things work together for the good of refining the ones he has called. He makes it work together for good. And so I look forward to that, and I look forward to the time when the Lord Jesus will be standing in front of his Father, and the Holy Spirit will present a gal that he has redeemed from every tribe and every tongue and every nation, all ethnicities, all stripes religiously and unreligiously, will be in this girl, and she will not be a street woman. She's going to be as pure, get it, as pure as the groom. You say, well, I could never be in that. Yes, you can. It's called the work of the Holy Spirit. It's called the work of the Holy Spirit. He took us on as a project, not to start us only, but to finish us. Like the children of Israel, the Lord said when they were out in the wilderness, he said, I brought you out to bring you in. This is a process, and we were pulled out of sin to be brought into this life where we walk free from sin. We have this problem in the church today with the use of the word grace. I don't sense it in this church, but across the country, and when I say the church, of course, I'm talking about the North American church. In this country, we say grace, and we talk about grace covering sin. Grace does not cover sin. The blood of Jesus Christ covers sin. The blood cleanses from all sin. It is the grace of God that saves you, and God's grace, since it doesn't have to cleanse from sin, God's grace keeps you from sin. And if you think I'm teaching sinless perfectionism, just get over it, because I'm not. I don't believe in that, except I know that the Holy Spirit can work anything we set our hearts to receive by faith from the Lord. And I don't want you to say, bless God, it's been 3 weeks since I sinned. I think you probably just sinned then. So, you know, it's that tricky in our devious hearts. But when our eyes are on the Lord, it could be a long time in between. We say, oh, God, I'm so sorry. That was so wrong. Forgive me. And we don't condemn ourselves. We just hate it, and we turn from it, and that's a part of our past then. But in Jesus Christ, of course, it's not even there, because the blood of Jesus washes it away. So the grace of God is here to work in us. Many will be purified, made spotless, and refined. Now the wicked are going to continue to do their thing, and it's not going to be good, because they don't understand what's going on, and they're going to think that they're saving the world and making it a better place for themselves and everyone else, and it's going to destroy them. In 2 Peter, the third chapter, there's another reference to the last days, and Peter says it like this. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed by that same word that created the world and then destroyed it by water. That same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. I don't think we're there yet. Obviously, the earth hasn't been burned up yet. So we're not there. I can say that with confidence. But the wonderful thing is that in the face of this, and you see, Peter had this revelation also, that the Word of God speaking this into our lives brings us to the place where we are what we ought to be in Christ Jesus. I said to Eunice today, I think, as we have looked at the squirreliness in the political arena, and we have so many problems on the national scale. You know, we have an immigration problem, borders that are not borders, and we have a foreign policy problem, a foreign policy that just continues to give strength to the enemy, if indeed that's the enemy. Maybe that's the friend. We just always thought they were the enemy. You know, it's just we're just that confused. It's just plonk, plonk, plonk. Nothing solid, nothing firm. Scandals come up, and the particular leader of that particular thing says, just stands up and lies and lies and lies and lies. And nobody goes to jail for that. Well, I think one has. But, you know, it's like, what? And we claim to be a nation of rule of law, and we want what we think justice is. If you do wrong, you get thumped for it. If it's a big one, you get a big thump. You know, and our human nature needs that, by the way. You're made like that. That you wish for justice is not just a quirk of your fallen nature, because God likes justice. Now, he's a little more healed than we are. But so here we have all these problems. And I said to Eunice, I am so glad that the Lord has given me grace to be able to concentrate on the work of the Lord and not be so involved in what I fear are serious, debilitating problems in our country. And you know, this happened to me. Those of you who've been here around here for a while, this happened to me, 6 or 8 years ago. And I didn't say much, but I would just be fit to be tied by abortionists that were just prospering politically. You know, they just stand up for pro-death, and we'd elect them. And it's like, you know, and we have a senator from this part of the state in Washington. It just irks me, okay? And you can tell her I said so. But I have told her myself. So anyway, and then along about that time, the Lord just said to me, you better get your work done. And that became the grace of God for me to set that aside. I still care totally about pro-life, pro-death, okay? That's a huge deal in my little heart. But it doesn't take me where it used to take me emotionally. Now, I'm a big boy now, and I couldn't act out what I felt, okay? You can only do that if you're about this tall. It's been a long time since I was that size, so I don't get to act it out. But the Lord has fixed it so that I'm not having to deal with it on the inside, and I praise God for that. Now, let me recommend this to you. Come to the Lord with the simplicity of, Lord, I want to be caught completely up into what you're doing and what you're saying in this day. Whatever our nation does militarily, if we continue to disarm more dangerously than ever, whatever we do, I want to be squarely in the middle of a military thing that is pushing back darkness, that is kicking in hell's gates, that is just making a mark for the Lord Jesus. Our greatest power, we know, is in prayer. And after that, the Lord will give us varying ministries. You have varying platforms. My dad, who is 100 now, does not have much of a platform outside the people who live in the same independent living facility in which he resides. So his ministry has to be there outside of prayer. However, his day is get up early, go drink coffee with the guys, go to the restaurant for breakfast, go back to the apartment and read and pray until you leave for lunch. Okay, so that's his, and that's where the power is. Now, he has, the way those people love on him, he certainly has an effect outside that, but this is where he spends his time shaking things up. And I don't know how much he understands that. I know that he just does it partly because he's just faithful and he's always done this. This is what you do. You belong to God, and so you do this. Whatever his mindset is irrelevant to me, because that's where the power is. And then you have your job, or you have your neighborhood, you have your family, classroom. I love it that we have all of these public school teachers among us, because, man, oh man, that's our people. Those little people are our people. And if they can get a picture of some godliness by the power of the Holy Spirit, I know that you're sort of gagged, but you can't gag the Holy Spirit through a godly person. He just doesn't gag well. And so I love that. And you're on your various jobs and in your various associations and clubs, and your kids are playing on various teams. And all of this association is about a war. It's about a war, church. That's why we are saved. We were saved to do good works. So don't get confused that you have the privilege of doing this, doing that, going here, going there. The Lord is going to use you where you are to push back darkness. I love that Jesus said, I'm going to build my church right here, and the gates of hell can't stop it. And you know, we used to think of that the gates of hell are coming to get me. No. Gates are static. We are going and kicking in gates. And it's the strength of a Samson. And you think about Samson, if he had had a pure heart, if he had been anything like Daniel in his moral life, oh my goodness, there would have been no stopping him. Because he could just walk through the city gates and pick them up and carry them up on the hillside overlooking the city and set them down. And they weighed tons. Not a problem. So this is who we are. This is who we are. And in prayer, God is creating Samsons as far as the gates are concerned. God is creating Samsons among us. You've already been doing it. You've already been shaking things up. He is going to turn it up a little bit. He's going to increase your faith. He's going to increase your ability to give away and the power that is issuing out through you. And it's going to be fun to be a part of, because all of us will get to watch the lost people streaming out of that area that's protected by the gates of hell. That must be hell. Streaming out of hell into the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many of you have someone on your heart tonight that needs, you'd give a nickel or more to see them come streaming out of that? We all have that. It's like, oh, yes. And we cry and pray and work in their behalf. There's a place in my daily prayer where I stop and just do this focus, you know, because it is really important to my heart about this person. So let's just lift up our hearts and know that if the pressure of the present gets hot, make friends with it in the presence of God and let it refine you. Let it refine you. And as you let it refine you and your prayer practices, you will be drawing closer and closer to our God. Hallelujah. I want us to take a moment to pray now for those prayer requests that you have received when you came in. And if you didn't get one of those...